It's here and now, and as you may have heard, NPR is in the midst of a series on millennials. It's called The New Boom, and we're going to dip into that right now and talk about views on American exceptionalism, which are changing. Recent poll numbers from the Pew Research Center show that millennials are much less likely to believe in the idea of American exceptionalism than the baby boomers. And by the numbers, the millennials are now a bigger generation than the boomers. Derek Thompson joins us regularly on Here and Now. He is a millennial, a member of The New Boom, and he's a senior editor at The Atlantic. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, what does it mean to you, American exceptionalism?
I think American exceptionalism has two different meanings. I think the original meaning, as I understand it, seemed to be that the U.S. was some sort of city on the hill, that we were different by quality, that we were sort of picked out by God as a place of providence. I think that more recently, though, the way that I sort of think of it is that it's more of a difference of quantity, that we're number one across a lot of different factors that we compete around the rest of the world with, that we're the richest country, that we have the most innovation, that we have the best culture, the best athletes. And so when I think about American exceptionalism and the hope that America can be exceptional, it's not so much that I think that we were picked by the divine to be different, but rather that because we have all of these advantages, we make them matter in athletics, in innovation, in economics, and hopefully, although much less recently, in our political system.
And what about for millennials at large? Why do you think that just 15% think that America is exceptional compared to much higher numbers among older generations?
I think it sort of boils down to three different reasons, three buckets: age, history, and psychology. So first you look at age. Young people are always more X than older generations. We're poorer than older generations. We are less likely to form families. One of the things that we certainly are is that we're more liberal. And if you divide this question, is the U.S. exceptional, by political orientation, you do find that liberals are the least likely overall to say that we're exceptional. The second bucket is history. And if you think about how the boomers and generations before them sort of came to think about American exceptionalism, they were right. The U.S. was the greatest country in the world in the 1940s and 1950s. We defeated the Japanese. We defeated the Nazis. The rest of the world was essentially destroyed, and we were the world's factory. And so as a result, we not only had the richest country, we also had the richest middle class, and we were winning all of the wars. Since then, you know, we've had the Vietnam War. We've had the Iraq War. We've had the Afghanistan War. The U.S.'s record as an exceptional military force has certainly come under question. The third aspect is psychology. I think a lot of young people are a little bit depressed by the recession that they graduated into. They were the most educated generation in U.S. history, and now they're among the poorest. At least they're poorer than previous generations. But also, I think young people are cynical, and we're not likely to sort of attach ourselves to cliches about America. And the idea that America is number one, rah, 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 U.S. exceptionalism, jingoism, this sort of thing, I think, strikes millennials in a kind of queasy way, which means that in a questionnaire, we're sort of psychologically averse to the idea of saying, yes, I think America is somehow exquisitely exceptional compared to the rest of the world.
Well, and having just traveled around the country myself, by the way, and spoken to a lot of voters of all ages, I would bet that a large part of this is that millennials don't feel that they have the same economic opportunity as the previous generations. You can't make a middle class wage and go and get a 2-bedroom house and support an entire family as easily as you could back in the 50s and 60s.
I'm really glad you brought up economics, because that's an enormous part of this. There's a lot of reasons why young people are struggling. Most acutely, you have the Great Recession and the slow recovery out of the Great Recession, which in fact has been worse for young people than any other age group. Besides that, though, you have a lot of things that have nothing to do with the recession. You have technology, which is eating away the salary of routine-heavy middle-class jobs.
Yeah.
You have the dissolution of unions, which held up wages extremely strongly when a third of the country was working in manufacturing in the 1950s. And then you have globalization. There is an enormous amount of competition for the kind of jobs that Americans are used to doing. And now a lot of those jobs are going overseas, particularly at larger corporations that have to expand abroad. But also, there are lots of positions overseas that are competitive with U.S. wages, which are potentially helping to drive wages down. So for all these reasons, the recession, technology, and globalization, I think it's entirely pragmatic and reasonable for young people to say we don't have quite the same kind of opportunities that our parents and grandparents had. Lots of things are better, but this is not.
And yet millennials are known for their optimism. Despite all of these setbacks, millennials think things can and will get better.
Remember at the beginning, I said there's three buckets here. There's age, there's history, and there's psychology. I think this gets back to age. I think that optimism is just a side effect of being young. And I don't necessarily have a phenomenal study to prove that point. But if you look back at previous surveys, generation after generation going back to the 1960s, young people have always been unbelievably optimistic about their future, even when we were fighting the Vietnam War, even when we had gone through the early 1980s recession. Young people are still optimistic. They have a lot of life ahead of them. And it's reasonable, I think, to say, you know what, this is America, and even if we're not the greatest country in the world in every single category, we still have a phenomenal track record in making things work out for, if not all, then many middle-class families. And so I think that that's where the optimism is coming from. I think it's a reasonable read of history, and I think that it's just an element of being young is being optimistic.
So given that optimism and given the numbers that we're seeing from Pew about millennials not believing in American exceptionalism to the same degree as their parents, what does this mean for the country? What if people in the United States don't believe as strongly as previous generations that America is exceptional?
Well, I think you can sort of see this play out in presidential rhetoric and political rhetoric. I think that if you look at the 1980s, the idea that there could be a successful presidential candidate saying that the U.S. has to work on itself, that that we don't have the answer to every problem as a people, and that we have to be more reasonable about the role that we can play in the world, there is no way that that person, I think, would win the presidency. Reagan, I think, struck the opposite note on all of those elements. He said, no, we're going to fight the Soviet Union, and all the problems that the country is currently facing are not going to be solved by government. They're going to be solved by people. And there was sort of a lovely and bridled optimism about his attitude and his speeches. I think you're more likely to see successful presidential candidates now like Barack Obama who are a little more circumspect about the role the U.S. can play in the world and about the odds that we have to recover seamlessly from every single downfall. And as a result, you know, you can see that play out a little bit in policies. I don't see universal health care as any sort of acknowledgement that we've failed in any way, but it is essentially mitigating the downside risk of people not being able to find jobs and the healthcare that's attached to jobs. And so expanding the safety net, I think, comes precisely from an acknowledgement that things aren't always going to work out perfectly for every single family. And we need to find ways to use our immense wealth as a country to protect those people. And so, yeah, I do see that a kind of emerging realism about America's prospects and the role it can play in the world and the things we can do for each other as a government, that does come back to this new feeling about optimism.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, and we've got more about this poll from Pew at our website, hereandnow.org. Derek, thank you.
Thank you.
And whether you're a millennial or a boomer or Gen X or any other generation, we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about American exceptionalism? Go to our website, hereandnow.org, and watch for more stories on the New Boom series on NPR, on air, online, and on social media with the hashtag New Boom.